My day typically begins with a daily Bible reading, prayer time, and a good cup of coffee. Over the past 6 months, weather permitting, most mornings have been on our back deck. In the last couple of months, I've really been impressed with the fact of just how richly we have been blessed. I have a wife of over 53 years. It's had a tremendous impact on my life. I look around at our home. I think of our family. Things that people in other parts of the world could only dream about. How richly we've been blessed. My wife has a friend that every week or so sends her an email, usually of a humorous nature. Recently, though, she sent one that was a bit more serious. It spoke of our lives being as seasons, and those of us that are in our retirement years are in the winter of our life. The idea of the email was for us to not put off saying and doing those things that need to be said and done for those we know and love. The ringer here, of course, is that we don't know when our winter is going to come to an end. I'm reminded of the words of a former pastor. The good Lord can draw a straight line with a crooked stick. My prayer is, Lord, I'm that crooked stick. Take me and use me to draw a straight line. Guide me to use the abundance that you have given us in a way that's pleasing in your sight.
21 days. So at least two significant things have taken place in our lives in these previous 21 days. So for decades now, my wife and I have enjoyed our personal time with the Lord individually. And most often, including the coffee, brother, this would be in the early parts of the day and would include Bible reading and prayer. And for several years now, our goal has always been to either read or, in the case of my wife, to listen to the whole Bible each year over the course of a year. And of course, we would pray together beyond just the evening meal or the lunchtime meal. When certain situations would arise, we would study together and pray together. But this season of prayer and fasting has really expanded our personal time with the Lord to consistently do those daily email devotions together. And we really found ourselves enjoying these daily devotions in the morning, and with the Lord's help, we do plan to continue this habit moving forward. So they say it takes 6 weeks to really establish a habit, so we need another 21 days, right? Secondly, the Lord really worked through a relationship that I have with the last person that I led to the Lord a few years ago. He's since moved from Kansas to Missouri, but we've been doing a weekly meeting via FaceTime or Facebook Messenger that currently includes studying the scriptures and more specifically on how to pray. That's come up in previous conversations, and so the Lord brought Luke chapter 11 to mind, where the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And the verses following that, the master teacher of all, our Savior, lays out a roadmap for quality prayer time. And so now each Wednesday from 8 to 8:30 in the evening, we spend a few minutes catching up on what's happened in the week, and then we get into the passage that we're looking at, and then we close praying for one another. And when Pastor asked for this opportunity for us to have this special service this morning, he had sent this verse from Psalm 67. And verse number 7 says, God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. And so let's pray together. Lord, today I think of your servant Job, who said that he would lay his case before you and that he would fill his mouth with arguments. So, Lord, in that same manner, we ask of you that as you have blessed us, Lord, enable us to be a blessing to others. We praise you and thank you for how you demonstrated your love for us through Jesus Christ, your Son. And for those of us who know you as our personal Savior, we recognize that before you saved us, we were rebellious enemies. We were guilty of breaking your laws and deserving of eternal punishment apart from you in hell. We were absolutely helpless to save ourselves. There was nothing, Lord, that we could possibly do. You saw us in this state, Lord, and you loved us still. Thank you for blessing us with your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died to provide the forgiveness for our sins, and even with that, his own righteous standing with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from our sin and giving us eternal life. And now, Lord, we ask that you would work in our hearts to enable us to live our lives according to this work that you have done in us. As you told the Corinthian church through Paul, you tell us today that this blessing of salvation is not only to be received, but lived and shared. That the life of your Son Jesus would be manifested in our lives. Lord, he came to seek and to save that which was lost, so Lord, help us to do likewise. That our lives here at College Heights would, by your enabling grace, reach people in our city with the message of the gospel. Lord, we ask that for you to use us to make your name known here in Manhattan and our surrounding communities. As the psalmist said, Lord, you blessed us. Let all the ends of the earth fear you. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
This 21 days of fasting and prayer has provided me with time to meditate on God's gifts to me and to our family, and how I could use those to bring honor and glory to Him. My daily prayer is to honor God in all I do, and to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He directs my life day to day. One of the things George and I pray about is how to honor God with our home and our time. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great first commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." One day, last week, our neighbor across the street came over with her three children to ask us a favor. She has a five-month-old baby girl, a second grader, and a kindergartner. Sometimes they all need her help at the same time. She wanted me to work with her kindergartner for an hour once a week, help him with work he has to do online. I was delighted that she had asked me. And our first lesson when he came over was to find living things in the backyard. That was fun and educational too. I was blessed by this request and feel that my prayer that day was answered in a very direct way. If you desire to be used by God to minister to the needs of others, you just have to ask Him and then expect Him to answer you and be ready to respond to His call.
Bear with me, because first of all, this has to do, of course, as you noticed, and you've heard the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I'd never really fasted before in my life, so I kind of dabbled in it this time a little bit. It's kind of like an introduction into the real fasting, but, and you don't need to know what it was that I fasted from, but we were asked to share what God has shared in my heart personally during this time. And it just, I don't believe that there's coincidences. So what it was that, let me start this way. I wrote it all down, by the way. What God has reminded me of during these 21 days. I think that God wants me and you to remember and to not forget him and not to forget the work that he's done in you and the work that he's done around you. And that is, he's reminded me that I am helpless and hopeless without him. And I can easily forget him and how he has been so faithful to provide, to answer prayers, and to work miracles. Just like the Israelites kept forgetting, and God had to remind them over and over and over again of all the work he'd done for them, all the miracles, and how he had provided. They kept forgetting, just like we do. So when blessings are received, prayers have been answered, and I praise him for the miracles. I thank him for his work. And then what? Sometimes it seems like he's silent, or he just works in our lives in spurts, you know. Maybe that's what the Israelites were thinking too. He just kind of shows up once in a while. So why does God want me and you to remember the miracles, answered prayers, the manna that he's provided? Because he loves you so much. He knows how helpless and hopeless we are without him. So he wants us to remember the miracles, to give us hope and peace that comes from the hope and the knowledge that he is at work. Since before creation, he has been at work every minute of the day, every day of the week, year after year, millennium to millennium. And not just in our individual lives, but throughout the whole world, throughout all time. When it seems that God is silent, and when your life or your world is falling apart, and I ask you to recall Pastor Lentz's prayer, he went down the list, you know, COVID-19, disasters, hurricanes, fires, you name it. It's all happening right now, isn't it? Kind of chaotic. And it seems like he's silent. But although it seems like it's all falling apart, that remember, he is working and he's still at work. And that is the hope he wants us to cling to, and why we must remember the work he's already done in our lives, in our families' lives. So this is what God has reminded me of, that he is still working in the world, in my life, and in the lives of my family. He's blessed me over the years and recently, and he continues to do so, with the privilege of seeing the evidence of his work, especially in my family's lives. This humbles me and gives me peace and hope, and it strengthens my faith and trust in him. And I'm so thankful for the work he is doing in me. And I am a work in progress, just like all of us, and it's going to take a long time. So you may be asking, well, how did God reveal this to you, Amy, over these 21 days? Well, you know I love to read. I'm a voracious reader. And I especially love to read biographies of missionaries. They're just so fascinating and so inspiring. And it's real. It's true. It really happened. Recently, God had me read two books. The first is, I read one after the other. The first one was The Insanity of God by Nick Ripken. This is the book, right here. Then the other book was the biography of Hudson Taylor. As you may well know something about him, if you read his biography, Hudson Taylor was known as the pioneer evangelist in China in the mid-1800s. When he arrived in China in 1854, there were already some missionaries there. There was some missionary work started along the coast of the China, some of the ports only, the cities at the ports, and that's where they were restricted to. But there was no missionary work at all. It had not yet begun in mainland China, inland. Okay, so now I'm going to jump back to Nick Ripken's book. In 1998, Nick Ripken ventured into China to meet and interview believers who had suffered persecution for their faith. He felt that this was God's new work for him to do. He had originally been a missionary in Somalia, his first time ever, which was, he served there for 6 years with his family, and it was devastating. He buried a son there. He came home, just a sense of great loss and failure, and at the point where he was doubting his own faith. It was a real crisis for him and his family at that time. And I'm just going to very quickly want to read what he wrote in his book. In light of all that I had heard, now this is while he was in China interviewing Chinese believers. In light of all that I had heard, there was no way to avoid the conclusion. God evidently was doing today everything he had done in the Bible. The evidence was compelling, at least among people who were faithfully following him in the world's toughest places. God was still doing what he had done from the beginning. And also, the stories, he goes on, the stories that I was hearing literally saved my life. Because if the title of the book is actually called The Insanity of God, A True Story of Faith Resurrected. He says, the stories that I was hearing saved my life. God is indeed still present in this broken world. He is working. He is doing what he has always done. And through the stories, my hope and my faith were being rekindled. So, these are the two books that I read that God spoke to me from the reading of these books, one right after the other. So when Nick went into China in 1998, it was estimated that there were over 100 million believers in China, the fruit of a century of labor by missionaries like Hudson Taylor that were obedient to God's call to go to China in the 1800s. Clearly, God's Spirit at work. So what he wants you to know is that he is at work. Even if you don't know it, you don't see it, and that's the hope that he wants you to. During these times, during your walk through the valley of shadow of death, there is hope because he is still at work in you and throughout the whole world.
Okay. So one of the things that we have been praying over the past 21 days is that God would purify the church and that he would bring about a revival in Manhattan. And I feel like the things I'm going to share are more about how God has been purifying me and convicting me of my sin. And so I should have grabbed a Kleenex in case I cry. But I think, you know, before the 21 days started, God had been pointing out some real pride and arrogance in my life, especially from the way I responded when things don't go my way. I really like things to go my way. And but when I would respond to those, I really feel like God was saying, you know, it's okay if things don't go your way, but I realized how much I was wanting my way. Sometimes I think probably even over what God's way was. And so during the midst of this time, I feel like God has just continued to point out in me how I think more highly of myself than I ought. And I just, it's really grieved my heart for me to do that. So my personal prayer and really looking to the power of the Holy Spirit is just, God, please continue to humble me, that I wouldn't exalt myself over you and what your ways are. And Lord, when things don't go my way, Lord, that I would be gracious. And so that's one thing that God's pointed out. And then another thing is, God has done so many awesome things in my life, throughout my life, and I love the things that he has done. And I do love telling people about the awesome things that God has done in my life. But I was also, as we've been praying and I've been going through a couple of Bible studies, one this summer was about God desiring his glory to spread over all of the earth. And I was thinking, God, I glorify you. I love the way you're working in my life, but I don't, and I want you to work in other people's lives because I want your goodness for them. But I recognize a lack of that. My passion is that just because God is so awesome, that his glory would be over all the earth. I think it's in Isaiah 26 where it says, your name and your renown are the desire of our souls. There are a lot of things I desire, but I feel like God is saying, I want to change your heart so that your desire, like what you're passionate about, is God's glory being over all the earth, not just in what he's doing in your life. So that's been another thing that I've been asking God to change me, to be from self-centered to more God-centered. And then the other thing that has just been on my heart is I've been studying with some other ladies about the Israelites and how God heard their cry and delivered them out of Egypt. And in Egypt, everybody, like, they ruled over the Israelites and they oppressed people that they could take advantage of. And as we've been looking in the scriptures, I've just been really impressed with how deeply and how much is on God's heart for those people who cannot defend themselves. I mean, I think I do a minimal amount, but I feel like God is saying, I want you to set aside time to help those who have no way of repaying you. There's no way of doing that. It's just so much on God's heart to not take advantage of people and to help the poor and to help the oppressed. And so I'm like, okay, God, what does that mean and what do you want to do? So I don't have any answers on that, but I feel like he has just pointed out so much more how he wants to do that, and that is his heart. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for Manhattan, and I would ask you guys just to join with me. Father, we are so thankful for our city. God, thank you for this home that you have given us and that you have blessed us with. Lord, I first of all just want to pray for our leaders. I know there's an election coming up. And God, we come before you and we ask that you would put people in place in leadership in our city. God, that they would lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, would you direct the hearts of voters? would you just put your people here, Father, to lead our city in a righteous way? And God, we ask that you would do something amazing in our city. Lord, like when the Israelites got delivered out of Egypt, God, nations knew about that. Would you do something in Manhattan that the cities around us would be like, what in the world is going on in Manhattan? God, would you bring revival to our city? And Lord, we want that for our city and for our residents, but God, we also know that you have placed K-State and MCC and MATC here in our midst. And God, there are students that are coming and being impacted, and you are going to send them all over the United States and all over the world. God, would you do something in Manhattan that would influence the culture of those campuses? God, that righteousness and truth and belief in you and in Jesus Christ, God, I just pray that those would become foundational truths that guide everything that is happening in Manhattan. God, please glorify your name in your city. And Lord, we do pray, God, that you would allow us to share the gospel. God, would your gospel go out through your people, throughout the city, that there would not be one woman, child, or man, whether they speak English or not, that does not get to hear the gospel, Father, in this city. Lord, would you do that, and would you change hearts? Would you bring yourself glory because you deserve it? And we are just, we'll be grateful to give you the praise and watch what you are doing. And we ask these things, Lord, in Jesus' name.
I just have a few just brief things I want to close us out with. You probably, some of you are going to be amazed that I can be up here for this short of amount of time. But if you want to turn there in your Bibles, it's going to be up on the screen. But Psalm 46:10. Now, there were several things that I had thought about sharing that God has been doing in my life during this past few weeks, but I'm probably going to get many opportunities to share those in future weeks, so you'll have to wait for those. But I wanted to look at this verse just real briefly. Be still and know that I am God. You know, often we think about this verse and we stop there. And probably many of you, if I would have said, finish the verse, be still, you would have been able to say, and know that I am God. But the verse doesn't end there. It says, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I really appreciated of the things that were shared, that the ways that God is at work in our lives, and then how he then wants to take that blessing of us knowing him and the blessings that he brings into our lives and use us to be a blessing to the people around us, to be a blessing to the people all over this city. Maybe they live across the street. Maybe they're across town. Maybe it's the nations that God wants us to bless, people all over the world. And, you know, I think that these two parts of the verse are so important for us to remember, that as we think about the blessing of knowing God and we think about the blessing that God has given us, that then he wants us to be used to be exalted among the nations. And we think about what he's done for us in salvation. We think about the fact that we deserve the judgment of God. We, because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from God. We deserve his wrath. And yet God loved us, and he sent his son to die for us so that we could know his forgiveness, so that our sin could be atoned for, so that we could have eternal life, so that we could know God. And as I think about this verse, be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations, I will be exalted in the earth, I think, how important is it for us to take time to be still before God and let him press these truths deeper and deeper and deeper into our hearts. And I hope that these weeks that we have set aside as a time for special prayer and fasting and extra time in God's Word, I hope that that's been a time where God has done that for many of us, where these truths have taken a deeper hold, where we say we know God, and it's that, you know, and it's not just that I know that He's God, but no, I know that I know that I know, and it's deep inside my heart, and it's changing everything about the way that I live because of what God has done for me, because of what God has, how God has blessed me. And you know, I hope that there have been patterns that have been established in our lives that will be able to continue past this time, that will continue in our lives, that God will, you know, maybe some of us have tried fasting for the first time, and we want to make that a more regular part of our lives in some way. Maybe for some have just started a daily time getting into God's Word, or a daily time to pray, or praying together with your spouse. Those things are things that can continue on. And I want to share one example, and I hope I'm not going to mention any names, but I hope I don't embarrass the person that prayed this. One example from our prayer times, I have really been blessed by the times we've had on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays to pray together in the evenings. And I think this is an example of what happens when you set aside time to pray. When you set aside time to be still before God and you let God press these things deep into your hearts, I think sometimes we will pray for things that we wouldn't dream of praying for otherwise. So one example from one of our prayer times over these past few weeks, we're praying, and maybe this person has prayed for this a lot, which is, if so, awesome. But it's something I would have never thought to pray for if we had not been gathered together in this way. We were praying for China, and we were praying for the Uyghur people in China. And then somebody prayed for the salvation of the president of China, that God would work in his heart, that God would change him, and that then that would have an impact on the rest of the nation of China. That's a big prayer. And it's a prayer that I think sometimes we wouldn't think to pray if we weren't being still before God, if we weren't listening for the voice of God saying, God, you are huge. You are our refuge and strength. You are our help in trouble. What do you want us to ask for? And I want to encourage us to continue in that posture as we seek the face of God, as we look for Him to bless us in such a way that the ends of the earth will be blessed. And as we prepare to close with our last song, I want to pray for the nations. I want to pray for God to be glorified around the world, and that He would use us to be a part of that blessing. So if you'd join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, You are over all of the nations. God, You are not limited to one people group. You are not limited to one demographic, even in this world. But God, we ask that Your name would be known, that Your glory would be known among all the nations. We know that one day there will be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation worshiping around Your throne. And so, God, we pray that Your Spirit would be going out to prepare the hearts of people around this globe. And God, we pray that You would raise up laborers who would give their lives to speak the name of Jesus to people who have never heard His name. I pray that You would raise up laborers to go to places that are hard to get to. I pray that You would raise up laborers to go to places where they kill people for being Christians. And God, would you give us boldness? Would you give us courage? Would you give us strength to press on in your great commission to make disciples of all nations? God, we pray that you would do that through us. We ask that you would bring in a great harvest of souls around this world, and that your name would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.